All right, hey everyone, welcome back. We're diving right into it today for all of you folks living and breathing life here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena.
You know, if you're tuning in, you're probably invested in making our corner of the world a little bit better. And
that's exactly what we're tackling today.
Yeah, we're going deep on something that impacts all of us.
Yeah.
The financial health of our cities, not just understanding it, but, you know, figuring out what role we play in it, you know, as residents, what can we do?
Exactly. And I think sometimes when we say financial health of a city, people's minds jump to like, oh, is Deer Park trying to become a corporation? Or like, you know,
profit, profit, profit.
Right. But that's not what we're talking about here.
No, no, not at all. We're talking about a city operating in a sustainable way. Think of it like your household budget, or, you know, maybe if you're involved with a local nonprofit.
Right. You got to have enough coming in to cover what's going out.
Exactly. And to really dig into this, we've been looking at some really interesting conversations from a Strong Towns 101 course.
Now, for folks who haven't heard of Strong Towns, they're all about building resilient, vibrant communities. And a big part of that is, well, you guessed it, financial strength.
Right. So in this course, they're wrestling with this question. What does it actually mean for a city to run a profit? And let's be clear. We're not talking about lining the pockets of some CEO.
It's about we the people.
Yeah.
Making sure we have the resources to keep our roads smooth, make sure our water systems are working, you know, keep the lights on at the library and the doors open.
All of that. And that's really what we're aiming for today, to take those insights from these folks and see how they play out right here in our neck of the woods. So you can think critically about it and who knows, maybe even spark some local action.
Love it. All right, so let's get right to it. That core idea of a city running a profit. What does that even mean?
Right. So it's not about maximizing profit like a business. It's more about long-term financial resilience. Can the city bring in enough revenue consistently to cover its expenses?
Okay, hold on. Expenses. We're talking more than just keeping the lights on.
Right. Exactly. We're talking day-to-day operations, but also thinking way down the line, like, when that road needs a complete overhaul or a pipe bursts in the water system and needs replacing, not just the initial cost, but the lifetime cost.
Yeah, like when you buy a car, right?
Yeah.
You don't just pay for the car and you're done. There's gas, insurance, and then down the line, maybe a new transmission or something.
Exactly. You got to factor in the second life cycle and beyond, as these folks put it.
I like that.
Yeah, it really highlights that initial price tag is only part of the story. Can we afford to maintain it over time? And for cities, a big part of that is, will the new development we're seeing actually generate enough in taxes to pay for all of that?
Okay, so this is where it gets interesting for us in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena, right?
Yeah.
We've got farmland and we've got development spreading out.
Right, and one of the participants in this Strong Towns course, they're in a similar situation, growing city, farmland around. They pointed out something really interesting. Even when you have newer developments that are denser than the older neighborhoods, they're often built far away from where jobs are concentrated.
Okay, I see where this is going. More sprawl means more roads, more pipes, more everything to connect it all up.
Exactly. And their concern, which, you know, is often valid, is that building all that extra infrastructure to connect these far-flung suburbs might actually end up costing the city more than those developments are bringing in through property taxes.
So even though we're growing, we could actually be losing ground financially in the long run.
Potentially. And they mentioned the city council that started doing some things to address this, allowing people to split lots in older neighborhoods and making it easier to build without tons of parking.
So the idea is, instead of pushing development further and further out, use the land we've already got more efficiently, closer in.
Exactly. Get more out of the existing infrastructure rather than always needing to build more and more to reach these new areas. It's something to think about for our communities.
Yeah.
Are we maximizing the use of what we already have? Those empty lots, underutilized spaces. Could we be doing more with them?
Really gets you thinking. All right, so aside from making the most of what we've already got, these folks in the Strong Towns course also talked about how public investment can actually attract private investment.
Yes. There's this great example from a small town where the city invested in their downtown. Built some apartments, fixed up old buildings, upgraded the water system, made the streets nicer for walking.
Sounds nice.
Right. And here's the key, that public investment made the area more appealing. So private businesses started moving in, renovations, new stores, you name it.
So it's like the city sets the table and then
entrepreneurs bring the feast.
I like it. And that brings in more property taxes, right? Which helps the city in turn keep making those improvements.
Precisely. It's a virtuous cycle. Smart public spending leads to a stronger local economy, more businesses owned by our neighbors, and more of that wealth stays right here.
Makes you wonder, where are those opportunities in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena? You know, where could some strategic public investment breathe new life into an area?
Absolutely. Now, on the flip side of this, we also need to talk about balancing that profit with providing the services we rely on and maintaining a good quality of life. And some folks in the Strong Towns course raised a really valid point. They said, if we only focus on what brings in direct revenue, we might end up overlooking things that are crucial but don't make a direct profit.
Things like senior centers, parks, bike lanes, right? Those things that really make a place feel like home.
Right. We all appreciate having those things, even if there's not an immediate dollar sign attached to them.
Yeah.
But we can't just ignore the financial side completely either. Right, and that's where it gets interesting. Because even if something doesn't directly generate revenue, it can still benefit the city financially in a less obvious way. Think about it. A nice park might attract more families to live in the area.
More families, more houses, more property taxes. I see what you're getting at. It's like an indirect return on investment.
Exactly. Same with making streets more walkable. People get out more, support local businesses, the area becomes more attractive to visitors. Even something like planting trees can help reduce the urban heat island effect, leading to lower energy bills.
And, you know, just makes the area more pleasant to be in.
Exactly. And Strong Towns talks a lot about lovability. Places people care about tend to attract more investment, be more resilient in the long run. It's about thinking beyond just the immediate bottom line. So maybe a park doesn't generate revenue directly, but it makes the city a better place to live, which in turn attracts people who will pay taxes and spend money locally.
Makes a lot of sense. And that really leads us to ask, how are our local governments weighing those quality of life factors against the purely financial ones when they're making decisions?
Yeah.
What are those amenities you value in our communities that might not have a direct dollar sign attached, but they're essential to making Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena good places to live? And then there's this whole other level of the financial puzzle that we got to talk about. State level restrictions on how cities can raise revenue.
Right. They brought up this example from Washington State. Cities there can only raise property taxes so much, and often it's not even enough to keep up with inflation.
Hold on. So let me get this straight. The city's main source of income can't even keep pace with rising costs. So even if they're managing their money well, they're still falling behind.
Right. Imagine trying to run your household budget where your income stays the same, but the price of groceries, gas, everything keeps going up.
Tough situation.
Yeah.
So what happens? Do they have to cut services or?
Yeah. Well, in that Washington example, cities ended up relying heavily on sales tax. So they start competing for big box stores, car dealerships, things that bring in sales tax, but might not necessarily be the best fit for the community long term.
And it kind of pushes them towards that car dependent development they might be trying to move away from. It's like they're stuck in a system that works against them.
Exactly. And on top of that, sometimes the revenue they do get is shared with the county or other levels of government. So the local benefit gets diluted.
Right. So even if a project does bring in money, the city might only see a small piece of it. Makes you wonder if that influences what projects they prioritize, right?
It's definitely a factor. And this all highlights a key point. These state-level policies can really shape things at the local level, sometimes in ways that work against what the community actually needs. It creates a situation where cities are more dependent on the state than on their own residents.
Makes you think, huh. Now, Texas has a different system, of course, but it's still worth asking. Are there any state-level rules or funding structures that impact our cities here? Could things be set up in a way that gives our local governments more flexibility and puts the power more in the hands of the people?
It's a question worth considering, that's for sure. And it brings us to this really cool story about a guy in Washington State, Rodney Rutherford, who took the Strong Towns ideas and turned them into action.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about this guy.
So he was really concerned about these restrictive state policies, so he actually went and registered a website, strongwa.org, to try to organize a movement and change things at the state level.
So he took those conversations, those ideas, and turned them into real-world action.
Exactly. And that's what we're all about here, right? Empowering folks to make a difference. So even though this example is from another state, the message is clear. We can make our voices heard. We can connect with like-minded people right here in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena, and start working towards solutions.
That's what it's all about. All right, so let's bring it all home. If there's one thing we want you to walk away with today, it's that the financial health of our cities It's not just some abstract concept. It impacts our daily lives.
Right, from the roads we drive on, to the parks our kids play in, to the taxes we pay. And it's something we as residents can understand and influence, even if we're not accountants or politicians.
It's about making sure our communities are strong, resilient, and able to thrive in the long run. And remember, when we talk about a city running a profit, it's not about some corporation raking in cash. It's about having the resources to provide the services we all rely on and make smart investments in our future.
Investments that pay off both financially and in terms of our quality of life. So as you go about your day, think about those infrastructure challenges you see. Think about how new development is shaping our area. Think about those opportunities where public and private investment could work together to create something truly special.
And when you see those decisions being made, zoning changes, budget priorities, infrastructure projects, view them through that lens of long-term resilience. Because in a very real way, those decisions are shaping the future of Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena. And we all have a role to play in making sure they lead us to our brighter future.
A future where our communities are not just surviving, but thriving.
Absolutely. And that's where we'll leave it for today. As always, thanks for joining us on this deep dive, folks. And until next time, remember, think and act locally. We'll catch you in the next one.